How many problems would we have avoided having today if we had not let ourselves be carried away by a moment of anger, by a moment of rage in which we lost our temper, we lost control and expressed words that we shouldn't have said, words that hurt other people who were listening. We have certain reactions that were not correct, and in the end, we have to run to apologize under the excuse that it was not what I wanted to say. It was there in the heart and we took it out, but we did not do it properly. Because we get carried away by the emotions of the moment, in an uncontrolled way. So when we say it, we sin, we offend, we damage. Today I want to talk to you about those moments that we consider as normal. Because we lose patience, or because we can simply blame something external for the way we react. And it is about anger. Can I ask you, have you gotten angry this week? And what have you done with that anger? Have you used it for good or have you used it for bad? Because, among other things, you might be surprised because when we hear the word anger, we always think of something bad. But do you know that the Bible teaches us that there is also a good use? Because anger is a trigger that makes us realize that something is not working well. Something that bothered us, that is not correct, and that needs to be solved or restored or improved. For that, we have the trigger of anger. But when it gets out of control and anger begins to control the way we speak or we behave, that's the big problem. And we end up sinning. That's why the Bible gives us great advice in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 26. It says this way, and that's an appetizer because at some point we're going to share a series about anger, knowing what the Bible teaches about this and how we can handle it. For the world, this is something normal. Living angry in the world is something, let's say, a daily habit. But in God, it is not normal. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So, having cries in the heart and being angry all the time does not have coherence. Ephesians 4:26 says, "And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil." Look at this interesting thing. Sometimes we think that sin is only killing someone, that sin is only stealing, that sin is only speaking ill of other people, but getting angry in an uncontrolled way, isn't it a sin? This is curious because we determine some things as sin and we have a scale from 1 to 10. I think that from 1 to 10, the anger wouldn't even be within those first 10. Because we make it part of our lives as an habit. But in front of God, I say it again, it is not something normal. Because it has great repercussions on everything that the Apostle Paul says. Here in the book of Ephesians saying, "For anger gives a foothold to the devil." Anger can bring a curse to your life, serious consequences, and anger can subtract God's blessing for your life, for your house, for everything you do. Due to anger, many marriages are destroyed today. Due to anger, many relationships are destroyed. And due to uncontrolled anger in this life, many get sick and even die. The reactions that anger produces in the heart are very strong and reach the point of making the heart stop beating. It is not stress, it is not the oppression of the external, but what happens inside of us, and it occurs within us. And therefore, we are the only ones responsible, because in the end, no one can tell me what decision to make. No one can force me to take certain attitudes. In the end, I say how I want to act and what attitude I am going to take against to the circumstances of life. It is hard to hear, but it is like that. In other words, I cannot say that I am like this because my dad is like this. Or telling my wife, "You make me to be like this. You make me to be violent. You make me to be angry. You make me..." No, no, no! No one makes you to be. You decide to be. I can't excuse myself by saying, the economy is so tremendous and that's why I'm getting depressed. No, I cannot look for excuses from the outside because in the end I made the decision. Nobody can force you to make certain decisions or certain attitudes. In the end, I cannot blame the mirror. It is us, but it is easier for us to look for guinea pigs, to find the guilty, than to recognize our guilt and our condition. You got depressed because you chose depression as a channel in which to hide, when the Bible gives us multitudes of ways out in the Lord, to trust and rest. But in the end, we miss the mark because we choose the wrong or the easiest way out. So, anger, my beloved friends, misdirected, uncontrolled, does not allow the justice of God to manifest itself, does not work in the correct way. Therefore, it is not aligned with the justice of God, and it becomes a deadly sin because, among other things, it gives a foothold to the devil. It is an open door that welcomes all kinds of evils in the heart. So, perhaps you can say, but it is something normal. Who does not get upset, right? It's an emotion that we have and it manifests itself at some point. But what is the result? Do you control it or does it control you? Do you use your God-given self-control to keep it in control? Do you use it to resolve? Do you use it for real and true justice? Or do you use it for your own personal desire that leads you to revenge or destruction? To pay evil for evil? There is when it becomes sin. It is not normal for God. So, anger can affect a person for years, making resentment and desire for revenge to grow in him. It does not let the person to rest until he carries it out. Then, we see, for example, in the life of David, his son Absalom, a repressed anger kept there in his heart. From the day he knew that his own brother, Amnon, had raped his sister, Absalom is filled with rage when he sees that his father did nothing in regards of this, and that his older brother got his way, without any discipline. So for 2 years or so, Absalom keeps that in his heart and comes up with a whole plan, a whole strategy to gain the trust of his brother and his father, and then by making a party, ordered his older brother to be killed and he fulfilled his desire. Do you see? All that anger can feed in your heart for years, a desire for revenge, a resentment that later becomes a root of bitterness, my beloved friends. Bitterness has a great detail. It takes root, and where it takes root, it never allows the person to prosper, to have joy, to be happy, and to really enjoy life in abundance that God gives. Anger has many characteristics. And one of them is that anger alters our perception of things. Have you noticed that? Just as we heard it, anger has many characteristics, and one of them is that anger alters the perception of things. Well, I think that today we're going to start this series. Today we're going to talk about this, because it is an interesting topic, and I am going to talk to you about some things from daily life. Because I believe that it is necessary to have sit and talk. Because among other things, perhaps some people have already let you see something about what is in your temperament that is not right. However, you have not listened to them. I hope you give me the opportunity to speak to you through the Word of God, and may the very Holy Spirit revealing to you the truth of this Word in your life, and making you to see that anger, my beloved friends, is not a valid excuse to sin, or to sentence, to condemn, to judge, or to dodge the responsibility that I have for the foolish words that I said, or the arrogant attitude that I have had, or the pain that I have caused to those who love me. I hope you will open your heart with this series, which I named as dead of anger, and that in this series you may allow the Lord to help you to scrutinize what is in our hearts. Because while we have learned something, and it is that we can no longer judge the action as such, and think that when the action is finished, the problem ends. We have learned that the problem is at the root, and there is where everything happens. The root is what naturally governs our heart. That is why the Word of God says in Ephesians chapter 4, as we read at the beginning, "Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry." God has no problem with you expressing anger at some point, pain at some point. The problem is when you let that dominate you. Your self-control goes away. You lose control and you end up destroying everything that is in front of you. Please, let's not make excuses for, "I'm like this, God made me like this," or "You met me that way." You're losing a marriage, you're losing a relationship, you're losing friends for a moment of rage, for a desire in your heart that you could have submitted, taken subject to Christ, so that His love invades you, so you can forgive and be free of resentment, guilt, the desire for revenge and bitterness. I remind you of that again. In the end, you decide. In Genesis chapter 4, from verses 6 to 8, there is another example. An example that occurs in a family environment and that becomes an issue with disastrous consequences. I want to talk for about 2 more minutes about 2 brothers named Cain and Abel. But in this case, I want to focus on Cain because he was the one who had an encounter with God. And God Himself made him see that something was about to happen that was not correct, and that in the end he made his decision, because Cain was jealous of his brother Abel. Cain was filled with resentment about his brother. His face changed and his heart got dark. However, God gave him an opportunity, because God appeared to Cain and said, "Cain, be careful, sin is at the door. It is looking for you to open the door up to dominate you, but you have control over it." God has said to Cain, "Be careful." How many times the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you and is telling you, "Be careful," but by considering it something as normal, we pay no attention to Him and we let it go until the time comes. So it becomes a time bomb, and that is the problem with the anger, with the rage, when it is not confessed, when it is repressed, when it is kept in the heart and damages. It leads us to sin. Cain did the same thing. He discarded the advice of God because he gives a foothold to the pain, resentment, envy, to the lie that the enemy put in his mind, as usually happens when we believe things that are not even true, and when we feed them with images that are not real. We begin to imagine things that are not real, but we feed that pain and it becomes rage that we carry inside, a time bomb about to explode. Cain rejected the advice of God, ending up by taking his brother's life. Perhaps you're saying, "Pastor, I didn't get there. But if looks could kill, how many would have your name? If gestures killed people, if what we have in mind became a reality, we would see a massacre every day, and perhaps we will have the arguments to say, 'But they treat me this way.' But in the end, it is not about the external, but what you carry in your heart. Because when you have the joy and peace of God in your life, when you know that God is the one that fills everything, you don't let anyone or anything to take peace from you. And no matter how many things happen around you, you have peace and tranquility and joy. And that is worth more than anything." Welcome to this series, Death of Anger. Do not miss it. Father, I thank you for your word. For this series that starts today, Death of Anger, help us to understand the purpose of this word, Lord, and to realize that it has great relevance, this emotion, this feeling that at some point tries to dominate us. which leads us to the point of sinning. Lord, but there is also a solution. When we recognize our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive, and bring our thoughts subject to Christ. It will help us to have that self-control and to know, Father, that in the moment of anger, there is something to pay attention to, and by doing it under your love, to be able to use it in the right way, help us to see what is not right, Lord, and give us the strength during this series so that your Holy Spirit works in us and we can enjoy this life, this abundant good life that you give us. In Jesus' name, amen. This was a translation of the daily devotional delivered by your pastor and friend, Elias Hoyos. Remember that God always arrives just in time. So I invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Devocionales Justo a Tiempo. And if you have social media, there you find me on Instagram as Pastor Elias HC. A big hug. Blessings.